Genesis chapter 35, and God said unto Jacob, Arise and go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. And Jacob said unto his household and all that were with him, Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. Let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods that were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And they journeyed. It was a 20-mile journey. And the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. Bethel. Bethel is an interesting place. It's located 10 miles north of Jerusalem. It's where Jacob saw a ladder, the ladder. It's where he set a stone. Jeroboam set up a king, Jeroboam the king set up a calf there to be worshipped. Jehu continued calf worship. It's near Bethel where Elisha was taunted by these 42 children, and two she-bears came out and devoured the kids. It's better not criticize your preacher. You can't tell what's going to happen around here. Royal residences were found there. Winter and summer houses were made out of ivory, 2 Kings 27:28. And the worship of God and idols went side by side, and it's not mentioned in the New Testament. And Deborah, Rebecca's nurse, is buried there. Now, as we examine the scripture, we find out that Bethel is a place of prayer. And we ought to have a place of prayer. When I think of Bethel, I think of Evansville, Indiana, Ernest I. Reveal. You may have heard him speak at Bob Jones. He spoke down there. That may have been a little bit before your day. And Pappy Reveal. Great man of God, man of faith, man of prayer. One time, he was sitting at his desk. I've taken him fishing. We've gone on picnics together. He is a sweet man, crippled in both legs. He'd get behind the wheel of the car, and he had one of those old Chrysler station wagons with a wooded side. He'd look under the wheel. He'd say, Angel on the right fender, angel on the left fender. Protect me. Whoa! He'd go down the street, cars would pull over, let Pappy by. He was standing outside a bank one day, leaning up a bank. The banker came out and said, Oh, Dr. Reveal, what's wrong? He said, I'm waiting for a ride. He said, Oh, I thought you were praying for this place. I thought you wanted to occupy this place. I thought you wanted, oh, he was relieved. One time he sat at his desk, and he was praying. He said, Now, Lord, he had a desk right there in front of the lobby, and it was one of those little, it had a banister around it, you know, like some of the old banks had. That was your office. No petitions, just a little banister around. I don't know what that would keep out, but that's what they did. I guess it's sort of a privacy thing. And he was praying. He said, Now, Lord, he said, I got over $500 worth of bills on my desk. And I want you to know, he never prayed with his eyes closed. He's prayed just like he's looking right in the face of Jesus. He said, Now, Lord, I want you to know that if these bills are not paid, somebody's going to be embarrassed, and I want to remind you, it's not going to be me. Because I had you remember that argument we had? And I didn't want to start this place, and you made me start it. And I'd just like for you to know that somebody's going to be embarrassed. And while he was praying, the door opened, his office right in the front by the door. Door's over here on the side. Man came in saying, Malachi's after me, Malachi's after me, and dumped out over $500 on his man. He's a man of prayer. We were going fishing one day. I was going to take him out. There's three of us in this noonday prayer meeting. I'd go speak on the radio for the service. WGBF, and he put, WGBF didn't mean that at all, but it was where God blesses forever. He made that go with the call letters of that station. And we were getting ready to take, I was getting ready to take him out, go fishing, and there were three of us there, his secretary and this young teenage kid there. And he started praying. He says, now, Lord, he says, I've been faithful. You know how I like to catch those fish. And he said, Lord, would you please help us catch those fish today. Make those worms look so attractive that those fish will just grab them. And now he said, here's this boy, Lord. He's down there at Catherine. Now he's praying. What's the name of that school? Lee Robertson. Lee Robertson's, Lord. Now bless him and help him. When he came to school one time, I had the joy of introducing him to my wife. One time a man said, Pappy, what you need are some sheep out here. Camp Reveal was a pretty good sized camp. And the man said, if you can have some sheep, you won't have to mow this lawn and you won't have to buy the gas and oil and keep those mowers up and everything. These sheep will keep it. So he started praying. He said, Lord, they tell me if we have some sheep now, Jesus said we wouldn't have to pay for the lawnmower and the gas and somebody to run it and all that stuff. So send us 1,000 sheep. And the caretaker said, Dr. Reveal, we don't need 1,000 sheep. Cancel that order, Jesus. How many we need? He said, about 30 will be enough. Just to make it 30, Jesus. And by the time the week was out, without any announcements, a truck backed up to Camp Reveal and unloaded 30 sheep. Now, I could go on with this, but there's many, many other things. But he, about less than five feet tall, polio took his legs away from him. He walked with two of those arm canes. Always it helped, no braces on his leg. And he said, one of these days, he said, Jesus is going to come. I'm going to go up. I'll shake these old braces off. Hit some wicked sinner on the head and say, ha, 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 I told you so. I could keep going, but I could tell you about old Bill that became new Bill. Great story there. But I won't get my message out if I do that. Bethel is a place of prayer. Pappy had a house. It was a small, small, beautiful little chapel-looking building. It was a place of prayer. He started praying on an old hayrake. And he prayed on that hayrake. Premier Manning from Canada would come down and preach in those days. Wonderful man of God. And Pappy would pray, and then Premier would pray and pray, and he would pray, and he'd pray, and he'd pray, and he'd pray. And Pappy was looking around. He had already prayed, and the prayer Premier was praying, I guess, just making a lot of words according to Pappy. And right in the middle of his prayer, he shook him and said, Premier, 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 look at that red fox running across it. He stopped him praying. He wanted him to see that red fox running across it. Bethel was a little building he had. Some people, kids I guess, came in and stole the beautiful chrome, copper fireplace. What do you call them? Grates, whatever, fancy. He just started praying, Lord, convict them, convict them, convict them. They appeared in the next week. Somebody brought them back. Bethel is a place of prayer. It's a place of an altar, place of sacrifice, place of mercy, a place of grace and forgiveness. A praying church will be a victorious church. Every night in your devotions, if you don't have devotions, you may be a mission field. Every night when you pray together with your mates, with your wife, or by yourself, you need to pray for your church. You need to pray that it'll be a victorious church. You need to pray that people will hear about the church, and you need to pray that Lord will lead me to some people to talk to them and give them invitations to our church. Now, if the church doesn't mean anything to you, I can understand why you wouldn't ask anybody to come. But listen, when the gospel is preached, and when this is the only place that some people have ever been in, that they can hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is enough driving force to get anybody that has a smidgen of Christianity to ask others to come. Well, man, we came through here and there's houses and apartments and those people. 75 to 80% of them don't even get out of their house on Sunday morning. Bethel is a place of prayer. The foundations of the prison were shaken when they prayed. Much prayer, much power. Little prayer, little power. No prayer, no power. The Bible is teaching us more things are wrought by God. George Mueller. I've been to the place. It's a shame now. Beautiful buildings over there. Beautiful, beautiful buildings over there. Most of them have been sold. They're all yellow brick buildings. Beautiful. And now they have a little group of a handful of orphans. Less than 20, I suppose. I think 10 or something like that's what I heard when I was over there. And they go out and raise money like they need it. One day they marched. The attendants said, "Mr. Mueller, we don't have anything for breakfast today." He said, "March the children in, set them at the tables." Over 200 there. "March them in, set them at the tables. But just do it. Pray." And when they got seated, there was a rap at the door. And a man came to the door rather shaken up, and he said, "I'm bringing all of the pastries and all the goods to send it to the suppliers and to the little stores that have them. And my truck just turned over out here on the corner. And I can't use that now." Mueller was headed to the United States one time, and the captain came on and said, "No one will go stateside tonight because a dense fog has settled over the New York area and no one will be able to leave the ship. There's no way we can dock during this." And Mueller went to the quarters of the captain and he said, "Sir," he said, "there's a group of people looking for me tonight. I'm to speak tonight." And he said, "Is there any way? No one will leave the ship." And with that, Mueller bowed in front of him, and he began to pray. And the startled captain didn't know what to do. He said, "Sir, it'll do you no good to pray because the Lord has answered my prayer." And they looked out, and the fog was lifted. The Lord is all-powerful. The Lord provides, but he doesn't have very many requests. And somebody said, when we get to heaven, we can look around and we can see all of these beautiful things, and whoever's showing us around will say, all of these could have been yours, but you didn't ask for it. Now, that's assumption, imagination, but I can see the truth of that too. So the Bible is teaching us that Bethel is a place where God speaks. In verse number 15 of chapter 35, and Jacob called the name of the place where God spake with him, Bethel. It's a place where God speaks. It's a place to live in His will. It's a place to be thoroughly right with God. I walk with the Lord in the light of His word. What a glory He sheds on our way. It's a place to go for strength. In verse number 3 and verse number 5, verse 5, they journeyed. It was 20 miles, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. It's a place to go for strength. It's a place, not of convenience, but it's a place that's offered. And so the Bible is teaching us. It's a place of promise. A promise from God and a promise to God. Turn back to the 28th chapter of Genesis and locate verse number 13, chapter 28 and verse number 13. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Jacob, and the land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So we have Israel today. Little Israel became a nation. What was it, 48, was it? They all came back. They came back. I understand that in that six-day war, the Egyptians that were fighting Israel had to put backup lights on their tanks. You get that by slow trade. So, a place of promise from God, and they promised to God that we will be faithful. Chapter 28 of Genesis and verse number 20. Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone shall I have for a pillar, shall be God's house. And all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Promises to God, promises from God. And Bethel is a place of pure living. The Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing. The Bible teaches us how to dress. It teaches us how to talk. It teaches us how to sing. I've got the verses marked in my Bible. I've forgotten how many were. Unto the Lord, unto the Lord, unto the Lord. Making melody in your hearts unto the Lord. Sing unto the Lord, unto the Lord, unto the Lord. He loves the Psalms. He wants to hear from us. He's the only one that can give us true rejoicing and pure thoughts. It's a place of pure living. It teaches us how to dress. The Bible teaches us how to talk. The Bible teaches us how to sing. Bethel is a place where you meet God, not a building. Not a building. You don't go to a building to meet God. If you're saved, you're sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. And I'm reminded of the little kid that the atheist was saying, God is nowhere. He said, well, you change the words a little bit and you'll find out that God is now here. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is in heaven interceding for us. In the beginning, God created. That's Elohim. That's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, God was the chief figure of the Godhead with visitations by Jesus and the Holy Spirit. You remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? You remember that? And they threw him in the fiery furnace and there was a Godhead in there. So God was the chief part of the Godhead in the Old Testament with visitations by the Son and the Spirit. And then Jesus Christ in the Gospels was the main person of the Godhead by visitations by God and the Holy Spirit. You remember, God spoke from heaven and the Holy Spirit came down in the form of a dove as a baptism of Jesus. Now Jesus Christ said, if I go not away, the Comforter cannot come. And so the Holy Spirit is here. He's the one that convicts us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And the Holy Spirit is the one who is present in the meetings where Christ is exalted. Sad to say, he's not welcome in some places. Don't ever let that happen here. Don't ever let that happen here. So the Bible is teaching us that Bethel is a place of pure living. Bethel is a place where you meet God, and it's a place to take others. I never will forget, there was a fellow by the name of Cotton Stott. He came to our church, and he was lost. And I went over to his house, and they said, you know, it's altogether different here in the Chicago area. You came from down there at South at that school, but it's different here. That's what a preacher told me. He took me out to get a sandwich, and the tightwad even paid for it. And he told me that, you know, now you're just going to put, some people are going to die, and some will move in, and you'll have a wedding once in a while, and that's the way it's going to be. You better get it. Well, that was my first week. And I went out to see a man. And lo and behold, I wasn't in there 15, 20 minutes, and we're kneeling, both of us, at the coffee table in the front room, and he was asking Christ to save him. Well, I said, that preacher's full of baloney. I know what he's not doing. He said, well, it's not like it is down south. Forget the south. God's the same in the south as he is in the north, in the east, in the west, and he's the same over there in Fiji as he is here and in Japan and Germany and France and Italy and some of those other countries we've been in. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The only thing is, we just don't take hold of that, do we? We don't do it. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the things done in our body, whether they've been good or bad. Whether they've been good or bad. Now, there's no need for me to list the good things, because if you're saved, you know what they are. And there's no need to list the bad things, because when we get ready to do one of those things, something says, you better not do that. Spirit of God is speaking to us. So the Bible is teaching us that Bethel is a place where you meet God, and it's a place where you take others. Let us arise and go up to Bethel. Cotton Stott trusted Christ as Savior. His sister came from upstairs down. She had one bad leg, and I heard her coming down. Man, she grabbed a hold of me and she kissed me all over my face and all over my bald head and in my ear and everything else. And she was just so happy. You say, people get that way today? I know they do. I've seen it happen. Because I know. She was old. But boy, she had a grip on her. I didn't think she'd ever let me go. I'm telling you that it's a place to take others. We say, come in here. The Bible says, go and tell. We're here. I never will forget one man, Plumber Pizer. After I entered evangelism, I called one of my deacons, former deacons, up in Alsip, Illinois, and I said, Denny, I'm coming in on an airplane, and I've just got a couple of hours. Would you meet me at the airport, take me, I want to see Plumber, and then I want to go on up to my meeting up in Wisconsin. And he said, I can do that, and he picked me up, and I said, now, Denny, he was a hard guy. Plumber was a hard guy. And I said, Denny, now, I'm going to go up and knock on this door. And if you see me fly out of the doorway and come over and pick me up and take me away from here, okay? But if you see me disappear in that door, I said, I want you to pray for me. Okay, preacher. Okay, I'll do that. I got out, knocked on the door, and Mrs. Pizer came to the door. I said, is Plumber here? She said, yes, he's right there sitting in a chair. I said, ask him if I can see him. She said, yeah, he said he wants to see you. Come in. Didn't take him but about 15 or 20 minutes to put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We'd prayed for him a long time. You know, great things can happen when the people of God find out exactly what God wants them to do and then do it. I'm afraid some of us know what God wants us to do and we rebel at it. We just rebel. The Bible is teaching us there is a place to take others. Bethel is a place where you put God first, and it's a place of revival. It's a place of revival. God help us in this day in which we live. Charles Haddon Spurgeon was led to go into the book of Joel for his devotion. And he read the book, and he came to the verse 3 in the last chapter, said, they traded boy for a harlot and a girl for a bottle of wine. And Spurgeon said, well, I never saw the word girl in the Bible before. There's girls in there, but not girl, not singular. And so he looked up in the concordance, and that's the only time it's found in the book of Joel. That was it. So he went out for his morning walk, and the Lord laid on his heart an atheist that didn't care for him at all, not too far from his house. And he said, the Lord just impressed me to go up and knock on the door. Knocked on the door. Man came to the door and said, what do you want? He knew who Spurgeon was. He said, I want to talk to you. Are you ready for this? The man said, if you can tell me where the word girl is in the Bible, I'll let you come in. He led the man to Christ. It can happen. It does happen. It comes through the power of God upon the life of individuals. And the Lord doesn't let us have too much of His power because maybe He can't trust us with it. You ever think about that? Could be. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the Word of God. We thank Thee that through a message like this in the early 60s, that Frank Pryor is no longer a candidate for hell. He's getting closer to heaven every day. We all are. His wife is. And so, Father, we pray that the Spirit of God will take these words of this week. And Lord, we pray that revival will come. We know it's a reality. We know it's a reality. We've just seen it on the film here. How that a man had enough courage and say, I want to meet that man. Oh, I can't let you meet. No, that's a prime minister. I can't. And he insisted. He said, look, just go over there and tell him there's a guy from the United States that wants to meet him. Now you know the rest of the story. All things are possible. Only believe. Dear Heavenly Father, speak to hearts now. Speak to hearts. How many will say, I even hate to ask this, but I am pressed to, because I'm afraid some will raise their hand and then not do it. But how many will say, I'm going to look at this thing, Bobby, I'm going to look at this thing closer than I've ever looked at it before in my life. The things you've talked about tonight. I'm going to look at this thing and I'm going to ask the Lord to help me see it right and help me to be active and help me do something about it. Don't raise your hands, you just tell the Lord about it, because that's the only thing that makes a difference. Our Father, thank Thee for loving us. We pray now during this invitation. Speak to hearts now. Speak to hearts. Never, help us never to be ashamed to give our testimony, to invite others, to talk to others, to hand out tracts. Help us never to be ashamed to invite somebody to hear the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. For without it, people we rub shoulders with every day are destined for a Christless hell, eternity. Help us to get the vision. Help us to get back to the days of our early new birth, to live the way we did our best to live then. In Jesus' name, amen.